Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Welcome back, 3 o'clock hour of The Drive, 96.5, The Fan. Catch Kansas City Chiefs tonight on this station. Pre-game at 6 o'clock, game at 7, third preseason game of the year. Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, with Danon Hughes, color analyst. And Danon will join us at 4 o'clock, and of course, Josh Klingler on sidelines. Scott Servais looks like going to be fired, is what they say in Seattle. It's not confirmed yet, but that's what happens, Rob, when you lose 8 of 9. That is what happens, but looks like Dan Wilson might take his place. Here's the thing. That team's better than this. Now, can they be inspired by a new manager? Or are they just going to flounder? Because really, you've seen teams get that boost when they get that interim manager. You get that little boost. Can Seattle get that? I don't know. On Twitter, there's this thing called ML Football. They just retweet a lot of other people's stuff and things for clicks and everything else. But it's kind of funny just reading this. Insane. It was more statistically likely for Tom Brady to make the championship game than for any NFL quarterback to complete a pass. Tom Brady reached the conference championship game in 73.7%. of the seasons he was a starter. The GOAT is what he called him. I hate to inform you, but Mahomes has made 100% of AFC title games. He has made the title game every year, including 4 Super Bowls, winning 3 of them. Yeah, so yeah, it's very impressive for Tom Brady, 73%, no question. Yes, he played longer, but right now, Mahomes has made it 100% of the time. No quarterback can say that ever in NFL history. Their first 6 weeks of the season, not even close can they do that. But, some Chiefs fans pointing that out, that what about Mahomes? He's at 100%, and we mentioned Andy Reid yesterday. 44% of the seasons he's coached, 11 times he's made the conference championship game in the NFC or AFC. And this will be his 26th year. So in 25 seasons, he's made 11 times. It's 44% of the time Andy Reid has made it. 816 says, remember Ned Yost getting fired in Milwaukee? They ended up making the playoffs after. So, yeah, I'm not expecting them. But Seattle, they are 7.5 games outside of there are 7.5 games outside the wild card at this point. ESPN ranked the top coaching staffs in football. And as I was sitting there looking at it, it's on ESPN Plus. I was looking at it and said, all right, the Chiefs have to be one. Like, if the Chiefs aren't one, there's something insanely wrong here. I mean, they're back-to-back Super Bowl champions. You name me a better coaching staff than what's going on in Kansas City at this point. The worst coaching staff they had was the Raiders. They ranked them at 32. Offensive coordinator Luke Getsy, Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator, Antonio Pierce, the head coach. The Kansas City Chiefs, they did not slide them. They ranked them number one, where they absolutely should have ranked them. The Lions, number two. They gave Dan Campbell a lot of respect, saying that's the second best coaching staff right now in the National Football League, above guys with rings like Rams and McVay coming in third overall, and San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan fourth overall for that coaching staff. When they had DeMeco Ryans, you could make an argument they were number two when he was the defensive coordinator there, but he has made the Super Bowl. I know he hadn't had good luck in it, but he has made the Super Bowl twice.
I mean, it's also their third defensive coordinator in 3 years, right?
They've had 3. Dick Sorensen's there now.
Yeah, because they had they had Wilkes, they have Sorensen now, and they had D'Amico Ryans. Like, there's been a little bit of turnover at that position, so continuity clearly matters. That's why I think the Lions are so high, because you'll remember this offseason, the hottest name in coaching was Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions.
That's why the Lions, I think, are at two.
He turned down all the jobs and said, I'm sticking it out in Detroit, and I think him staying, and Aaron Glenn, by the way, their defensive coordinator, also got a lot of interviews this offseason. Now, interviews don't always mean you're a good coordinator, but he got a lot of interviews, and he stuck around. So it feels like Dan Campbell was able to hold on to two very, very trendy names, but, you know, we'll see what happens long term. But I think that's why they come in at number two, because the Rams lost their DC as well. He's now the coach of the Falcons. Raheem Morris is gone. So I think continuity clearly factored into how this works, which is probably why the Chiefs came in at one more than anything, because their OC and DC have not changed at all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at with Reed, Nagy's back here. Again, he left and went to Chicago. Did make the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky, which is huge. He was National Football League Coach of the Year. He's won as many Coach of the Years as Matt Nagy has as Andy Reid, which is insane to me. But he has. It's true. They're still combined as many as Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, which figure that one out. I can't. But Spags here, and you know Spags, it's one of the best defensive coordinators in the history of the National Football League. But they keep people. You know, Dave Tobe's been here the whole time with Andy Reid. But finding consistency in guys just to kind of stay around just hasn't been here. Now, Peterson was here. Things are looking good. He gets his chance to be head coach in the NFL. He goes on. And the Chiefs have lost a few coaches here and there. But most of them, I mean, it's kind of been like college football staff that just stays together. You know, when Eric Bieniemy finally, you know, went out on his own when he left last year to go to Washington, and he'd been here since day one with Andy Reid. But that continuity that they have kept in the coaching staff and in the front office as well with Brett Veach, you know, he does elevate his talent. And for a while, the Chiefs had actually three NFL GMs in the same staff with Ballard in Indy. And when Dorsey was here and Veach was on the staff in Kansas City, I mean, that was three future GMs on one staff, one that was current in John Dorsey and then Ballard. And, of course, Ryan Poles was here as well with the Kansas City Chiefs. But the front office is ridiculous. But the Chiefs are lucky. I mean, Spags got, like, no run for head coaching, and I guess a lot of people look at him like kind of like Dom Capers, saying, all right, his time's past him. They're going to give him a chance. Will Matt Nagy get his next chance? Will he get another head coaching opportunity, or are they just happy to be in Kansas City and staying here with Andy Reid? They got Patrick Mahomes, perfect situation, you know, coaching with Andy Reid, having Patrick Mahomes on the field. But this is a big reason why the Chiefs have continued to be good. It's a big reason why they've been the six straight AFC title games. The continuity in the coaching staff. And they're prepared. They know exactly what they're doing. That's why when Jarius Sneed goes off to Tennessee, I'm like, okay, well, this coaching staff sees him every day. But it takes all three. It takes the players, obviously, Mahomes. It takes Andy Reid. And it takes the front office with Brett Veach. I don't think Veach gets the credit he probably should as GM. He did rebuild this team. Only, what, a few players that have been here before Mahomes. Butker, Winchester, Jones, and Kelsey, that's it. I mean, they flipped this roster, and he's found a way to do it. He found a way to do it 2 years ago with five rookie defensive backs with a seventh-round running back. He had five rookie defensive backs, which is insane playing. But he was rebuilding the team. It just has worked, and the Chiefs have become the only team to pay that quarterback and win a title. You know, Bills have paid Josh Allen. The Bengals paid Joe Burrow. You can put an asterisk by that since he was hurt last year. Lamar Jackson got the bag. Nothing materialized. Just won one playoff game. Justin Herbert's got his money. We're seeing all these. Trevor Lawrence just got the bag this offseason. Didn't he make the playoffs last year? But the Chiefs have found a way to pay Mahomes. And, you know, I remember those articles came out around the Super Bowl. They talked about them working on Mahomes' contract back when he was a rookie, because they could see this with him. They knew he was going to be this good. They felt that he was a National Football League MVP going forward, and they built it. But this front office, so yeah, we could put this coaching staff there, but I'd put the front office as the best in the National Football League too, because teams try to emulate, and they really like grabbing some of the guys. Like, look for Borgonzi, the assistant general manager, to be with another team at some point, because teams are starting to find the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't see Brett Veach going anywhere, but they're looking at this tree. And they're saying, okay, how did Kansas City get all this talent? What about this talent evaluation? What are they doing that we're not doing? and they need to emulate this team because they know what they're doing. Because this is the time when teams just don't repeat. They just don't do it. We're used to it in Kansas City that every year we get the treat now of going to the AFC title game. Even though those that grew up and are over 50 years old, before this little run of six, you saw one. It was that 94 title game in Buffalo with their run. And that's it. But you've seen six straight, which is insane. But in the modern day NFL, when everybody spends the same amount of money, everybody drafts from the same 254 to 256 guys at the NFL draft, same deal. The same revenue, same everything, same salary cap with all these teams. You just got to be better. And that's what the Chiefs have definitely become. Coming up next, though, we'll look back at the 14 days to kickoff. It's 15 days yesterday. It's 14 days to kickoff. Now we're just 2 weeks away from the Chiefs and Ravens starting the 2024 season. That's next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Missouri Athletics, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
Counting down the 100 days until the Chiefs title defense begins at Arrowhead.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run up. Butker's kick and Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep spinning kick.
Every day at 3:15 on The Drive.
Until the first game of the National Football League season. What will you do then, Rob? Will you do tell the Super Bowl? Do you still Super Bowl or no? You're not going to do that.
I think this future just goes away once we hit kickoff.
It just goes away?
I think it just goes away. I think it was a fun summer bit that got us through.
How come we don't say Cornell Powell days away to kickoff?
I don't think because Cornell Powell might not make the roster.
Well, I don't think he is. But it was yesterday's Mahomes days till kickoff. And I guess tomorrow we can do Chris Olatokun or Nazi Johnson Day till kickoff.
Nazi Johnson probably contributes to this team, so I think it's going to be Nazi Johnson days.
And then over the weekend, it's Jared Wiley Day one day and Carson Wentz Day the next before Monday's Isaiah Pacheco days away from the regular season. Well, we saw a trade today, Rob. We saw the Eagles require receiver Jahan Dotson. And he's okay. I mean, it's just the middle of the year. He's not been as good as his first-round pick status. But rare you see an interdivision trade like this. Like Philadelphia and Washington making a trade. But they did. The Commanders traded a 2022 first-round. They traded their first-round pick, Jahan Dotson. And they traded a 2025 fifth-round pick to the Eagles. So not only sent Dotson, they sent that fifth-round pick as well in exchange for a third-round pick and 2 7-round picks in 2025. To be honest with you, this is a pretty damn equal trade, to be honest with you. I don't think anybody fleeced the other person here. And some would say, well, what about could the Chiefs have gotten Jahan Dotson? Well, they didn't need Jahan Dotson. Jahan Dotson, kind of similar size and weight to what they already have. He's not produced at the level that we thought he would. But it also shows me how much they trust their wide receiver room at this point. Because they don't want to bring anybody in. We sat here yesterday trying to figure out who's going to be the final receiver on the roster, or two receivers. Is Sky Moore going to make it? Kadarius Toney, we don't think he's going to make it, or at least I don't know. I think Rob doesn't either. Is it Sky Moore, Justin Ross, Nico Remigio? I mean, what's going to happen with the Chiefs? But you bring in somebody like Jahan Dotson, and boom, you got confusion as well. Then there's Cornell Powell had that big touchdown. Who's been? Do you realize Cornell Powell's been lingering around here since COVID when they drafted him? Either on the practice squad or whatever, he's been part of the Kansas City Chiefs. He just continually plays for the Kansas City Chiefs practice squad. But you know what? He's picking up rings. So why not? But we'll find out tonight how they're going to fill that out. But no Jahan Dotson to the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think teams want to make the Chiefs any better. And that's saying Jahan Dotson wouldn't. He's 5'11". He's a 180. Last year, 49 catches, 518 yards. Only a 10-yard average. The year before his rookie year, he actually had more yardage and 14.9 yards per reception. But to be honest with you, this is just another guy. This is Richie James-esque production, which, by the way, he can't even find himself on a roster this year. Do you know that? Richie James? We had high hope for Richie James last year because he had a great year with the Giants before he got to the Chiefs. But it never really materialized with him here in Kansas City. But that was kind of the big news of the day with the trade deadline deal with, well, not trade deadline deal, trade, interdivision trade. As the Bears and Chiefs go tonight, the Colts and the Bengals go tonight. Friday, you got a slew of games. Saturday, you got games. Sunday, you've got games as well, which again, if I'm the Titans, Saints, the Cardinals, Broncos, Patriots, Commanders, don't want to play on Sunday. I'd rather get it out of the way now so you can make your decisions on what your final roster is going to look like and make final decisions on who's going to make your team at that point.
Are you surprised the Commanders did this in division? Like, this,
I'm shocked, actually.
This on paper looks like the Brett Veach special. Jahan Dotson was not a first-round pick, I don't believe. But he was. He was a first-round pick. Okay, so he was a first-round
pick. I think so. I'm pretty sure he was.
He was an early-round pick. We know that. He was a guy that clearly has not worked out in Washington. Like, they are not happy with him. They've had a coaching change. They don't view Jahan Dotson as part of their future anymore.
He was a 16th overall pick.
Their first-round pick. This is the Brett Veach special. Usually, Brett Veach finds failed first-round picks, trades penny on the dollar, brings them in, sees if they can get the most out of him. It's not – Veach does it, and we call it the Veach special, but it's not unique to Veach. A lot of GMs do this across the NFL. We can find failed first-round picks kicking around on a lot of people's roster right now. But if you're going to, you know, jettison a guy off your roster, are you surprised you're giving him the second chance in Philadelphia? Like – I know Philadelphia wasn't good last year, but Philadelphia is a year removed from the Super Bowl and new OC, new everything. Like, I'm a little shocked that not they gave up on Dotson. That is whatever to me. I'm surprised they gave up on Dotson and made it Philly's problem and gave a pick to Philly, too, to be part of the deal.
I'm a little bit surprised they just didn't keep him because that quarterback, Jaden Daniels, a rookie quarterback, going to be there this year. I actually like the Commanders this year. I love their draft. Of course, they changed head coaches. Ben Sennett's there from Kansas State, and he's having a great training camp. So I actually like what they're doing, but I'm shocked he's going to Philadelphia. Like, that does surprise me. Why? Did you see the latest rumors of Brandon Ayuk? I actually saw the Commander's name floated out there to grab him. There's just no way in hell. I'd give him full credit if they ended up with Ayuk out of today, you know, by trading him away. And again, they're down in receiver. There's just no way. Brandon Ayuk is, in my opinion, it's not worked out with San Francisco. I thought it was, you know, I thought Pittsburgh originally. Then I was like, no, he's going to stay in Frisco because he's showing up to practice. But it's not happening, man.
Why are you surprised it'd be, I mean, the Commanders, it's obvious based on social media that Brandon Ayuk has a very high regard for Jaden Daniels. Like, he just raves about him on social media. I don't think the Niners view the Commanders as a threat, and you could get over on some picks, but...
And they need help. Curtis Samuel's gone. He's in Buffalo now.
I don't think it's the most... I mean, we know that from Albert Breer's reporting, the Patriots are out on Brandon Ayuk. They're done with that, you know, dog and pony show of will he get traded, won't he get traded, where's he going to get traded to? Like, the Commanders seem to make a lot of sense, and Jahan Dotson's now gone. They've opened up the spot. They got a pick back for it. They got a couple picks.
Curtis Samuel's gone. Terry McLaurin's there. That'd be nice.
They don't really have weaponry. Like, you know, right now, who's the second-best pass catcher in Washington? You've seen Jaden Daniels in the preseason. He looks good. That division is kind of up for the taking. I know Dallas is the prohibitive favorite this year, but no one knows what Dallas' future holds because...
Luke McCaffrey, by the way, they're saying he could, that rookie from Rice. They're saying Christian's brother. They said he could actually be number two.
Yeah, so there's clearly a void and a need at a second pass catcher in Washington. I could see them making a run at a guy like... Ayuk.
I mean, Nick Allegretti, remember from the Chiefs, went there. He's their starting left guard at this point. Zach Ertz is playing with Washington now. Benson, as I mentioned, from Kansas State, he's there as well. But I like to make up. I like Jaden Daniels a lot. He might be my favorite. He was my favorite quarterback, I think, in this draft this year. Just love the way the guy dominates, the way the guy plays. Look out for this team. And would Ayuk? I would not be shocked. I guess Rob. I guess I'm just surprised how the whole thing's gone down. Or look like he's going to be traded, then all of a sudden he's going to stay in Frisco. San Francisco is a team, in my opinion, a lot of people give them their run. They do have the least amount of rest this year in the NFL. But the best tackle on their team is 36-year-old Trent Williams. He's been holding out. Christian McCaffrey's been dealing with a calf during training camp. Said he's good to go in the first game. But again, when does that break down? Deebo Samuel's losing a step. You know, George Kittle's not getting any younger. And here's the thing. Their window is still open, but it's getting ready to close. Because what's going to happen is they got to pay their quarterback, Brock Purdy. So they're going to have to – they've been able to get by not paying their quarterback because right now they're paying him seventh-round pick money. But when they pay their quarterback, you can't keep all those nice things. You just can't do it. You can't afford to pay all your superstars. Which they can now because you're not paying your quarterback, which is really a hell of an advantage in the NFL, being able to win with the seventh-round quarterback. That's what they're doing. But if Brandon Ayuk leaves, and then all of a sudden, you know, McCaffrey's been dealing with injuries, you got to hold out with Williams. Man, I don't know, man. I think Frisco might be that team people were counting on a little bit too heavily.
I have been saying it to Carrington for about a month now. I don't like what's happening in San Francisco. It's noisy. It's loud. Everyone's getting a little older. I don't really trust, like, a lot of the things around them. There is good reason to be concerned with what's happening out in the Bay Area. If they do end up moving Brandon Ayuk, I don't know Deebo Samuel's a true number one. I know Christian McCaffrey is telling people he'll play deep into his 30s, but running backs don't play that high level that long. Our late great friend Trez Paley used to always say, running backs only have so many hits on their body, and eventually it just ends. Like, Derrick Henry looked like he slowed down a little bit last year. Christian McCaffrey might be slowing down eventually. It's a matter of when, not if, because that's just how these things tend to go. Man, I feel like San Francisco is starting to show cracks in the foundation, and everyone just is on them to be back in the NFC title game, made the Super Bowl, I believe. They have the same betting odds as the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl right now, plus 600, depending on where you get your bets. Like, this, there are cracks in the foundation out in the Bay Area, and I'm not sold on that team. And like I said yesterday, we're going to do our pick segment early next month, excuse me, with Sean Barber, and I don't know I'm going to have San Francisco as the one seed in the NFC.
They've got less rest, which is huge.
There's a lot of things to not like about them. And like you said, Bush Light Boy is about to get paid, and it's going to change everything.
Yeah, I mean, and right now, Deebo Samuel, by the way, turns 29 this year during the season. Their window is starting to close. I think losing D'Amico Ryans really hurt this team because that defense was better than it was last year when he was there. And obviously, you understand why he was that good. But they've got less rest. And remember last year, the Chiefs didn't have the rest. Remember that Warren Sharp had never seen six straight weeks where a team had less rest than their opponent like the Chiefs did last year. Well, that's Frisco this year. And then when you're dealing with your left tackle holding out a training camp who happens to be 36 years old too, your best wide receiver wants to leave and doesn't want to be there. Your running back's been, you know, not practicing during the preseason. Who knows where that's going to be? You got to win now. As soon as Brock Purdy gets that money, and that's probably what they're thinking deep down, right? We got to pay Ayuk, Trent Williams, we got to pay these guys, but we're eventually going to have to pay Brock Purdy. Because guess what? Quarterback salaries are ridiculous. Who cares where he's drafted at this point? It doesn't matter. It's like when you get a job and you do the job well, it doesn't matter what your resume or your references say or anything else. You've already got the job and you're already making the company money, you're keeping it. Well, Frisco's window, that's why it's so remarkable what the Chiefs have been able to do. It's like Tampa. Did they back up their Super Bowl? No. Did the Rams back up winning the Super Bowl? No. Did the Bengals back up going to the Super Bowl? No. Do the Chiefs back up what they do? Yeah, six straight years of backing it up, which is impressive because, well, their head coach is used to this. It's 44% of the time he goes to the title game. 100% of the time the quarterback has gone to the AFC title game. By the way, I'm starting to see tweets from people going to the game, Rob. We'll talk to them at 4:30 with our Chiefs question, but I see more and more people. Would you really show up this early for a preseason game in the media? I mean, honestly, people, it's 3:30. But I already see media tweets.
On a Thursday.
From Arrowhead, yes. Yes, that's, there's no Royals, I get that. But text in, the phone, text line, Jay Southland, Toe Service text line, 913-586-7965. Listen, Arrowhead's synonymous for people waiting in front of the gate before they open it for tailgating. Are there people there in line today? Because usually during the regular season they are. Some wait all night before they get there. I'm sure there's people waiting for Arrowhead Stadium right now. We'll talk about that team on the other side of One Arrowhead Drive, the Kansas City Royals, next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back, 96.5, The Fan, FM, Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton, producing operation. Chiefs game day. Chiefs pregame at 6 o'clock. Of course, the game is 7 o'clock here. Mitch Holtus, the voice of the Chiefs, the iconic voice of the Chiefs, Dan Hughes, color analyst, who will join us at 4 o'clock. And, of course, Josh Klingler on the sidelines. From our text line, Jay Southland, Toast Silver's text line, 913-586-7965. Don't forget the number. It's also the phone line, but that is the new text line number, 4965, The Fan. RVs are parked outside the gates last night when I left the Royals game from the 913-816. Gates open at 3 p.m. There are videos of people there at 7 a.m. waiting. You know what? You be you. And you know what? You have a limited amount of games during the regular season. If you got some preseason games, might as well enjoy. You buy the tickets anyway. You still got to pay full price for them. Go, if this would you, because a lot of people make this choice. 602 says preseason is tailgating practice for regular season. If this is what you do, go do it. I mean, I don't know. We're going to talk at 4:30. You guys can call in 913-586-7965. And what's your reasoning for going to the stadium? What do you see tonight? Like, I'll be watching the game, of course, because you want to see, because Rob and I, of course, talk about it tomorrow and who he thinks is going to make the roster and who's not. Matt McMullen from the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll be in studio tomorrow for an hour between 3 and 4 as we break down the season. But the bottom line is, what's your reasoning? And we'll find out for sure. But if you're paying the price, in this way, this is typically often the game, people's season tickets, they'll offer you up to them. This is the one that they usually say, hey, do you want these tickets, last preseason, give me one. You're not going to see Mahomes, you're not going to see Kelsey, you're not going to see Caleb Williams, but maybe you just want to see Kansas City Chiefs. It's a great opportunity. I always said going to St. Joe, taking time and going up to St. Joe to training camp, you're going to see a ton too. You're going to be real close to the action. Going to training camp is a great thing for fans to do. And I don't recommend the weekends either when it's absolutely packed. I'm talking like on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, and they have practice in the morning. Andy Reid has practice in the morning. You can still get to work at a reasonable time. You don't have to take the whole day off. You can go. But Rob, evidently people have been there since 7 a.m. this morning. I am not shocked at all. People love going to games with this team. Absolutely love it with this team. But this is what people do. Either you have a lake house, maybe you got enough money, you do it all, you have a lake house, you play golf. But a lot of times, this is people's extra money. This is what they do. They are Kansas City Chiefs fans. This is where they spend their cash. This is what they love. This is what the fall is. Maybe they don't go to all the college games, or maybe they do. I don't know. But maybe the Chiefs is just their thing. And they're going to have fun with it. And I'm 100% for that. If that's what you like to do and you like, like I said, a limited amount of time, you can go to the games, whether it's preseason or not. So I give you full credit for that because, man, you just love football. And I get that 100% for sure. We'll talk to Dan and Hughes coming up at 4 o'clock. But the team on the other side of the Truman Sports Complex, the Kansas City Royals, we talked to Mark DeRosa earlier from MLB Network. about who he thinks is going to win the division. He had said, you know, he still thinks Cleveland's strong. I don't anymore. Cleveland's lost 5 of 6 games. They got a losing record to the Kansas City Royals. They've played the White Sox 10 times. They've only won 5 of them. They're only 500 against the worst team in baseball, the White Sox. I'm not buying into what Cleveland is. I think they got extremely hot. And as I said, what's the final score today? What was the final score today?
6-0 they lose.
6-0 they lose.
2 games back for the Royals now.
So 2 back for the Royals, gained that half game. Obviously, the Minnesota Twins did too. But this is now 5 of 6 losses for Cleveland going forward. I would start pushing the panic button if you're in Cleveland. Seattle pushed the panic button already and getting rid of Scott Servais for manager. Because they saw that heat because they're sitting there at 7.5 games back from the Royals. So really, it's about scoreboard watching and hoping the Red Sox lose every damn game, to be honest with you. They're 3 games under 500 at home. It's fun to root against them. But the Royals, starting the 20-game riptide, as Vern calls it. Vern's always good with the naming different series, but 20 games against all playoff teams. You start with Philadelphia, which I think is a great litmus test for the Kansas City Royals. You're going against former MVP. You're going against Trey Turner. You're going against a great baseball team. You're throwing your best at them. You're throwing Walker, Singer, and Lugo, and Walker's been playing crazy lately. And you know, not Cole Reagans, I get it. He's one of your best. But he's pitching in Cleveland on the first day of the doubleheader because the doubleheader against Cleveland on Monday, followed by 2 more in Cleveland. And then the Royals would travel at that point to Houston on Thursday night. Houston Astros for 4. The Royals have been doing very well against Houston. They swept them earlier this year. But again, that was a different Houston team they were playing earlier this year. Then 3 more against Cleveland back at Kauffman Stadium. Or the Royals have been simply dominating playing at home. Then 3 against the Minnesota Twins. Then, boom, they're off to New York. Then I think they can coast for a while, to be honest with you. But even though there's no coasting in Major League Baseball, because we saw what happened earlier when they coasted against the A's. But 3 in Pittsburgh, 3 against Detroit at home, playing Frisco, then Washington. That ain't bad. And then, of course, you have to finish the season with Atlanta. That'll be, you know, a tough series, but you get to this 20-game stretch. What would be satisfactory, do you think, Rob? At this point, if they just went 500, they're 15 games over now. Just going 500, going 10-10 in this, would you be upset with going 10-10, or would it matter who those 10 wins are against?
10-10 is a win for me in this next 20 games. Like, as much as I would love the Royals to go 15-5 or, you know, 14-6 or some big number. I would like all of those things. Don't get me wrong. The Royals are playing 20 games against playoff teams. Like you said, Vern calls the riptide. They have a sub 500 record this year against teams that have an above 500 record. I think they're like 6 games under 500 against teams that are above 500, which means they've feasted on lesser competition. Based on the length of this stretch and where in the season this stretch comes, if the Royals came out the back end of this 20 games 10-10 and they're still holding a playoff spot, I would be elated because now, as you said, it does soften up. You get some Pirates, you get some Nationals, you get some Tigers back on the schedule. Those are some games you feel like you can get back to some winning ways. I think the nightmare scenario for the Royals is if you go sub 500, and I'm not talking about like 9-11. I'm talking about like if you go 7-13 in this stretch, if you go 6-14, if you kind of get your brains beat in by the Yankees and the Guardians and teams of that ilk, then I think it ends the season. I don't think you're coming out the other side being like, all right, let's catch back up now with some Pirates on the schedule. I think now we all know what happens. This is the defining stretch of the Royals season.
Yeah, and it depends. Who you won, who you lost against, because it's Cleveland and Minnesota. And when the Royals play Cleveland, Minnesota's going to sit back and enjoy that because they need to win during that time because someone's going to lose between the Royals and Cleveland. But it's interesting how the season's materialized. What, 35 games left? Did I get that right? 36 games left? It's 35 or 36. I can't remember. They played 127, I believe. So 35 games left. And, you know, 20 of them are the stretch that Vern calls the riptide. Now, Cleveland, When you think about who they're finishing up against, they've got Texas, then they got Kansas City for four, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City again. Then they're at the Dodgers, which right now have the best record of Major League Baseball. They still got to go out there. After they play Kansas City in Kansas City, they've got to go play the Dodgers for three. Then they play the White Sox for three at Chicago, and you say, oh, they should kill them. Well, as I mentioned, they're 500 against the White Sox this year, 5-5. They do get a crack at the Minnesota Twins at home for four games, so that's big, and then they end up with the Houston Astros at the end of the year. I think it's going to be a dogfight between these teams. I do. Make or break, time of the season, 100%. 100% make or break. I know that yesterday we talked about living and dying every game by the Royals and just being careful not to do that at this point, even though you can put a lot more value on games now compared to at the beginning of the season. But, you know, how do you feel last night? I thought last night you're taking a step in the right direction. You got Lucas Erceg as your closer that you've wanted for the longest time. You get him going out there. He's pitched 10 in the third innings, hadn't given up a run all year, or four hits, no runs, 0.00 ERA, no walks, 14 strikeouts. I don't think there's anything more than what you want from what you're getting by him. I think that's been a great offseason for J.J. Piccolo. I mean, what's there to complain about what he's done? He's done everything you want him to do. You can make an argument if we ever had as good of GMs in this town at the same time. Like, J.J. Piccolo's on fire right now. That move for Cole Reagans last year, then what he did now at the trade deadline, plus bringing in Seth Lugo in the offseason. Heck, I think he's the hottest thing going right now in Major League Baseball. I think Brett Veach is the best thing going right now in the National Football League. It's hard to argue either. The Royals, the only small market team to have won a World Series. But I know that Mark DeRosa said they're going to be talking a lot about Vinny Pasquantino coming up here, and they should. I think he's one of the most underrated players in Major League Baseball. And you're finally starting to see, it's starting to materialize with this young core. Wish Massey would be healthier more. I'm concerned about that back because that's something that never goes away. But when you look at RBI in Major League Baseball, the Royals, the first team to have three guys over 70 ribs, first team to have three guys over 80 ribs, and they will be the first team to have 90 ribs, three guys, because two of them already got there. But Vinny, the way he's playing, no better hitter, no more RBI in the baseball than Vinny since the All-Star break. He's only behind Aaron Judge and Jose Ramirez of Cleveland as he sits number three in baseball. Bobby Witt, by the way, sixth in baseball with 92 as he continues what he's doing. But it seems like Vinny's playing like you thought Vinny would. And then there was questions last year because he was hurt. How was he going to come back this year? But did many people expect Vinny just to be like this? I mean, he's got 28 doubles this year. I mean, he did have the lead for this team, but Bobby Witt Jr. has just gone past that with 38 doubles this year. But, you look at this lineup, think, well, Aaron Judge has Juan Soto in that lineup. Well, this Royals team is going to be the only team in Major League Baseball that have three guys with more than 90 ribs. Sal Perez sitting there with 85. Currently, they're the only team with three guys over 80 RBI. But Vinny Pasquantino, to me, I liked his attitude from the beginning. You saw how much, this team meant to him and how much winning meant to him at the early. I remember what he did. It was like audio from back in like April. He was talking about, no, we're a good team. This is a good team. This is a good baseball team. And he's very dead serious about it. I haven't seen that side of Vinny from, but he came out there and I think they take losses to heart. I mean, this is Vinny's team. This is Bobby Witt Jr.'s team. It's always going to be Salvador Perez's team. But you mix in the young core with some of the veterans they brought in. Getting Paul DeJong when he comes in here. He has 14 postseason games with the Cardinals. Get these guys with this postseason experience. This isn't a crazy young team. It's a mix of young and old and your veterans of the league and the guys that come in. You got Lucas Erceg now as your closer. And by the way, you got 5 years of team control with him all the way through 2029. But I do love Vinny. Vinny's got my favorite batting stance of the Royals, Rob. I don't know whose yours is. I love when Vinny bats. MJ's used to drive me crazy because I almost he's changed it a bit because that bat was always kind of resting on his shoulder. And I was always like, you're going to be a tick behind on your, you know, in your swing. Because they're swinging and you had that bat. He's changed it a little bit. But Vinny's, man, I like when Vinny steps to the plate. He just means business every time he goes up there. But this core is not going anywhere with this team. With Vinny, with the way Bobby Witt Jr. is going. They're off today. Again, Kansas City Chiefs tonight starting at 6. Vern with a very important series with Philadelphia. Just to kind of see what you are. I know their National League team going against this could be a World Series preview. Could it be the two World Series team? Could it be a rematch of 1980 World Series? Which I was at, by the way. Show you how old I am, Rob. I was actually at the 1980 World Series. Could we have a rematch of that? Oh, and by the way, it's Tug McGraw. At that point, it was Tim McGraw's dad. Well, it became Tim McGraw's dad. Tim McGraw was his kid, but Tim McGraw, you know, kind of passed him in popularity there for a while. But it was Tug McGraw. But who's going to carry this team on their back the rest of the way? I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. definitely will. And you can't always pitch around him now either because this lineup's so good. You look at the home runs. Vinny's sitting there with 18. Paul DeJong's sitting there with 21 on the year. Bobby Witt Jr., 25. Sal Perez is in the 20s. Team's got power. They're going to have three guys over 30 stolen bases. Yeah, it's a tough stretch. But the Royals seem to step it up when sometimes they play good teams. We've seen them lose to some very bad teams at times. But hopefully they step it up against the good teams. But 20-game stretch, I think you'll have a real good indication what kind of team this is after this weekend. Remember what they did to the Reds last weekend? They made the Reds look like the worst team in baseball. And they weren't. They were hovering right around 500 before the Royals went out and absolutely embarrassed the Cincinnati Reds. It was such a series by them Royals putting the Reds on their you know, and spanking them all weekend. But it was fun. If you're a Royals fan, those are fun games to watch. But, man, starting Monday, that doubleheader, which – what do you have, an hour show that day, Rob, then? Because Vern would come on at 11.
We've talked about it. I don't even know the length.
Cody and Gold.
That Vern starts at 11 on Monday, and then that game will probably run to 3:45, like with postgame and all those things. Then Vern will be back at 4:30. I mean, we're looking at 45 minutes to an hour show on Monday. But you know what? If the Royals take care of business this weekend, and that's not unfair. If the Royals do well this weekend against the Phillies, then that series is going to be of the utmost importance regardless because the Royals are only two games back. I will gladly step aside for a Royals doubleheader with the division on the line. Sign me up for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a must-watch TV in the middle of the afternoon or listen to radio right here, 96.5, the Kansas City Royals at Cleveland for a doubleheader. Again, you have Cole Reagans going in the first game of that doubleheader. That is a way to start. Again, the Royals 4-2. Against Cleveland this year. Keep Cleveland down. They continue to lose. Who knows? Who knows what happens to Cleveland this weekend? Texas Rangers. They're on the road in Cleveland this weekend. Come on, Texas. Do your thing. Beat those Cleveland Guardians. But again, I would start sweating if I'm in Cleveland. Can't get comfortable because you weren't able to put the Twins and Royals away. You weren't able to do it. And you know what? They have themselves to blame. They should have capitalized on the White Sox. The Royals only lost one to them all year. If they were sitting there 9-1 against the White Sox, think about those four extra games. They'd be six games up right now in the division, not just two. That just shows you when you struggle against teams that have no business playing with you, how the White Sox have won five games against Cleveland. I just don't understand it. Well, Arrowhead's starting to fill up. Text line says season ticket holder for 15 years. He always gives the tickets away so kids can go to the games. But again, there's only 8 home games this year. There's 9 road games. So you had these 2 preseason games. I get it. You spend a lot of money for them. Maybe you want to go. Maybe, again, this is what you do. You tailgate. This is the Chiefs are your obsession on the weekends, and you love doing it and love going out there and love tailgating. I get it, man. I get it. We'll talk to you at 4:30, and we'll find out why you're going, what you're watching for tonight, and what you're looking for. But Dana Hughes, former Iowa Hawkeye, former Kansas City Chief, joins us next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. See ya.